Hi there, you're listening to the Estranged Heart Podcast, and I'm your host, Creed Revere. Welcome back to our returning listeners, and if this is your first time here, thank you for selecting this podcast to listen to. As we begin today's episode, I invite you to grab a cup of coffee or tea, settle in, and listen with an open heart. But first, the regular disclaimer. I am not a licensed therapist or counselor. Nothing within this podcast should be considered or taken as therapy. If you are in need of therapeutic support, such as counseling, please seek out a therapist near you. So today we pick back up with part two of a four-part series interview with an estranged adult daughter. And in this episode, this adult daughter talks about how she cares for her mom. She's never stopped loving her mom. She also talks about her children and the pain that she feels when she would see her mom light up when she saw her grandchildren, and knowing that this adult daughter, knowing that her mom never lit up like that for her when she was little or as an adult. And she also talks about how this entire thing is layered, and the responses and things that are said are not one-offs. And I think that a lot of estranged moms and parents think they take everything into context of that one particular conversation. And this adult daughter talks about how things are layered when you go through traumas as children. And I mean, as adults too, things are layered upon, layered upon, layered upon, layered upon. And so when you are in conversation with someone, you're actually in conversation with that person's entire lived experience. It's never, well, I won't say never, it's hardly ever just a one-off. And so she talks a little bit about that. So again, I hope that everyone really takes the time to listen to this second part of a four-part series of an interview with this adult daughter who is estranged, and that you really listen to her message. I think it is absolutely profound.
Okay, so I want to ask you, when you estranged from your mom, you know, one of the things that the listeners really like to hear and try to understand, because for many adult children, they just go silent. Some make a formal declaration of the estrangement. Some do some combination thereof. What was that like for you? And you mentioned you have children. So what is their relationship with your mom in regards to the estrangement?
Okay. So, this kind of played out a little bit over the course of kind of, I guess, 8 months. Initially, right after that incident, that phone call, where I was yelling out, "I'm better than this, I'm better than this," and when I, you know, saw my son in the back seat, I, you know, hung up. I probably hung up on them. And then I just kind of pounded out this text message. And honestly, it was a very dignified, respectful text message. It was like, this doesn't work. We have to stop trying. This relationship does not work. You deserve better. I deserve better. Let's go our separate ways. It was something to that effect. And I just was like, it was very, very much a impulsive, emotional response. But I am proud of the words that I used and how I did it. It wasn't like, you know, the Jerry Springer text, I guess, you know, is what I would say. It was the
Right.
44-year-old me showing up in the, well, at that time I was 42. It
Okay.
wasn't the 15-year-old in me. So I fired
Right.
off that text and I was like, okay, step one. I have no idea what I'm doing from here. Absolutely no idea. But I turned the radio off, right? All that noise, I just put
Right.
it away for now. So then I basically had asked my husband to kind of, because my initial thought was like, okay, I'll just still let her be in relationship with the grandkids, which, looked very different when you're living out of state. And, it was when the visits happened, that's how, they spent time together, or, occasional Zoom call and things of that nature. I will also say that in that moment, I went and cleaned my social media of my mom and my stepdad, which I know on their end is probably something very traumatic, because I could get into that, but my mom is very was very very active on my social media, which I can
Ah,
see
okay.
now was not healthy for me. So I just deleted everything, and I approached my husband about kind of being the between, the go-between, to kind of like still make this relationship happen. And if I go back now and I think about why I was like, well, I guess they'll still have a relationship, it's because I feel responsible for my mom's happiness. This is a huge part of our issues that we've had. And I have felt this way since I was a very little girl. And I will say that the other grown-ups and adults, kind of in this orbit, this solar system, have groomed me in a way. I don't think they would say it this way. I don't think they would believe me, but I'm not worried about what people are believing. This is the new me that's like speaking my truth. I have been raised and groomed that my mom needs a lot of support, and it's my job to make her happy and to do whatever we can do to help her. So that voice in my head, ding, went off, because that's so deeply embedded in me. It's very hard to explain, but even now, even though I haven't talked to her in 2 years, I'm like, I'm carrying around this burden of my mom's happiness. It's still on me. It's still on me right now. And I guarantee you, if
Well,
you, I am the key to her happiness.
I'd like to interject here for just a moment because as you and I were preparing for this interview, that was one of your concerns is, mom, if mom were to hear this, when will this air and things like this, you're still there, even 2 years of not talking with her, still currently being estranged, there's still a piece of you. And this is what a lot of parents don't understand, is that they think their kid's estranged and then they just walk off and they have no care or concern for their
Oh,
parent.
God.
When I, that's so not the case. Now with you, there's also the added entanglement of this grooming that you've been through to caretake for you, to be your mom's caretaker, emotional and well, her well-being that way, that also plays into this. But you as a human being care about your mom. You otherwise you would have never expressed to me the things that you expressed to me. If you had zero care of her at all, those things would have never come up, and they did. So I just wanted to interject that because I think it's important for the listeners to understand you do care. She is your mom. You have feelings of care for her. However, those feelings were manipulated in a way as a child to garner what the needs of your mother came before you.
And I think what's interesting is that if you probably asked my mom and my stepdad if I cared, on their end, it probably looked odd, because the way that I showed up in the relationship was, easily triggered, angry, but combat, like fighting, arguing all the time. But they don't realize that I kept coming back every time because I cared. because I cared,
Right.
you know? So it was like I cared. There was a part of me that like cared, and God, I just want my mom to be okay. And if I'm in this relationship, as dysfunctional as it is, at least I can keep my finger on the pulse. And but
Okay.
then at the same time as I'm doing that, I'm also trying to be heard. And like there's
Right.
my needs, like, you know, so I'm showing up caretaking and trying to fight for my needs. And so I think if they stepped back and look at it, it would be confusing for them at first to be like, well, she doesn't act like she cares because of how I showed up in the relationship because of my anxiety, my trauma, and the triggers. But the fact that I kept showing up
Right.
was and kept, you know, want these visits. I'm come on, let's do this. And you know, we can talk about how I, you know, invited her to counseling. It was because I cared. So, but you know, just quick sidebar, like what I realize now is like because of the way that I've kind of lived my life and I've been looked at to provide for my mom's emotional needs. And again, I think I got cast this way because in our family of, you know, broken people, I present as the least broken because if you look at me on
Right.
paper, I look pretty freaking strong. So I've kind of been cast as like, this is your role, daughter. This is what you do. Now you're an adult daughter, and this is what you do. You provide for your mom's emotional needs, whatever that is. And one of those things is giving her access to my children. It is very complicated too, because once I had children, it's like the first time I really saw my mom happy. And it's a very complicated emotion to deal with because you're seeing her come to life around your children, but she didn't come to life around
For
for
you.
you, for me, when I was a child. And that is so complicated to work through because then you have moments of going, am I jealous of my kids? That's weird. You know, because I want my kids to have, you know, all the things, all the love, all the support. But it is so hard to watch your mom laugh and smile and be playful. I didn't get that, mom. Where was that mom for me? But then I finally felt like when I had kids, I finally did something right. I finally have done something to make her happy. I have finally like delivered these children to her, put them in her arms and said, look, mom, look, look what I did for you. This sounds so weird, but this is what it felt like. And then it felt like, in a way, I felt good. Like I'd done something good. That she find like I finally had done something to win her approval and her interest in me and my life. Because we can get into other things like my mom just has not been interested in me as a person, has never felt interested in me. But I show up with these kids and suddenly she's laughing, right? So that's going in my head too. And that's why I'm like, okay, we'll just maintain the relationship because again, I still felt that need to make my mom happy. Now I realize I lost myself in that. I had no idea who I was, how to make what my needs were, how to make myself happy. I had no idea who I was until 42 years old, and I'm just starting to figure out who I am because all I was the person in a dysfunctional relationship with her. It was so much of my identity. Okay, so my husband's kind of facilitating this Zoom relationship. And I remember when we were getting ready to move, we did like a big cross-country trip for our move and made it like a month and a half, you know, event for our family. We had, you know, stopped close to them and I went and met a girlfriend, you know, and had lunch with that girlfriend while my husband took our kids to the zoo to meet my mom. I'm like, okay. So then we get out here on the West Coast. And just kind of like just gonna carry on that way, but I'm still not good. I'm not good. And I'm still trying to get like my therapy set up, and it's hard to get, you know, access to that kind of thing. But what I realized what was happening was every time that when these Zoom calls were gonna happen, I would have to go leave my house, right? So I would just go, you know, to the store, browse, you know, some stuff I don't need. And then leading up to it, I would get so anxious And so I finally just had the realization one day. And again, as I'm listening to like your podcast, other podcasts, reading books, I was like, no, I need, this is not good for me.
Right.
This is not what is about good for my mom. This is not good for me. I'm going through all this anxiety on the lead up to the calls. I have to leave my house. My house is supposed to be my safe place, my place of peace. It's my home. And then this might be complicated to understand. People might say, oh, well, it's best for the grandchildren. What's best for the grandchildren is, I do believe they need me before they need their mom, their grandmother. And what's
Right.
best for my kids is to, again, have me showing up for them in a regulated, healthy way. So it's kind of by an
Correct.
extension, because what I'm going through in the lead up to these calls, and I just have to realize it's an issue. I can't undo my anxiety. I can't undo the fact that it takes me days to kind of regulate again after these calls. It is what it is, and I got to put my needs first, because my needs are deeply connected to my children's needs.
Right.
And so we got to cut these out. Like, it'd be wonderful if this didn't happen, if the relationship was different. But right now, my focus is on my family and me. Like, I'm sure you know what I mean by that. But it's like, by me being selfish and prior, I'm being selfish for my children. I'm being selfish about me for
Right.
my children, if that makes sense. So, we decided to cut those out. And it happened at about the same time that my brother and I had a falling out. Like, that's kind of its own separate story, the relationship that my brother and I had and how we grew up together. And then suddenly, you know, he's ripped from my life and the way that his trauma manifests. I love my brother very much. I do. I could tear up again, you know, talking about him and
Yeah.
thinking about him. But things have gotten really bad with him. And so that's when I realized, okay, what's the next step in this? And that's when my husband and I worked really hard to compose an email, I guess the estrangement email. And it went to my mom, my brother, and my stepdad. And I shared that with you. And, you know, I'm fine if I don't have it in front of me, but if you want to at some point read it or something. And, you know, I felt, looking back on that, I felt like there's probably one thing that I would change that was probably a little bit of an overstep for me. But by and large, when I look at that, it's still, the words are still true today of kind of like, here's where we're at, you know? And you know, the thing with the grandkids was like, look, until the parents can have some kind of, you know, healthy relationship, this just isn't going to happen with the grandkids until the adults in the room, you know, figure this out. And I asked them to listen to your podcast, another podcast, and I asked my mom to go to therapy. And I asked that that therapy be about her and not our relationship. And that was like a huge light bulb for me. It's like, oh, like, I've been so stuck trying to fix
Yes.
my relationship with my mom, but like, we are just
Yes.
two broken, traumatized women, grown women. And this will not work. This will not work. We have to roll up our sleeves and do the inner work. And like, all of this happened, Creed, when I got curious, of why am I the way that I am? Why am I moving through life in such a different way than, say, my husband, right? Who just doesn't seem to be, like I wrote in my email to you, it just felt like I was moving through life in like cement blocks, like on my feet. Like, everything was just, I was exhausted being me. Everything was so hard. The way that my head was wired, the way that I handled stress, the way that I handled conflict, my inner critic, my self-loathing. I mean, it was like I was in battle with myself every day, just trying to survive. And I wanted my mom to heal that. I wanted my mom to heal me. But my mom is so broken too.
Oh, my heart. Yes. Yeah.
But again, I just realized I can do this. I can do this. It's going to be hard, but I know I can do this. And so that's what I asked my mom to do. And I don't, I mean, we can get into that. I don't know if my mom can do it. But
And to
it
date,
hurts.
have you heard anything from her or your stepdad as far as her or them doing what you've asked?
So the only thing that I've heard is, so I asked them not to contact us in that email. And I gave them examples of like, please don't ask other people to contact, please don't ask other people to contact us on your behalf. Please don't reach out to anyone in our community. And I said, please don't send gifts. And I was very clear about this. Because I basically said, take your time to kind of figure out what you want to do. It's your decision what you want to do. But in the interim, here's what we're asking. Please just don't contact us while you're deciding what you want to and they continue to this day to send presents for birthdays for all the kids, not for like me and my husband. But they send gifts for holidays and birthdays for all the kids.
Okay. I have a question for you because I
Yes.
know, I mean, this is the question that I get from every single mom who
Okay.
has received a notice of some sort that says, "Do not contact me."
Yeah.
Moms say, "So if I go to therapy and I'm doing all of this work and I'm
Yes.
working with you as my coach and I'm really digging in and doing this work, and they don't know."
Yeah.
They don't know that I'm doing what they want me to do or what is needed to help heal this relationship.
Yeah.
How would you want your mom? Do you want to know if she's doing these things? Do you, and if you
So
do, how?
I already thought about that when I sent the letter. So I guess there's two parts to that. Like I felt if my mom was taking me seriously and seeing what I needed, she would have not send gifts. Right? So the sending of the gifts was a whole nother thing that I had to work through in therapy because as I told you, like here's what I see when those gifts show up after I explicitly said I need space because these kinds of things put me in a tailspin for days. And it takes me like 3 or 4 days to come down and get regulated again just because of the way my anxiety works. So the fact that the gifts kept coming, the message that I'm getting is I continue to not respect your boundaries. I do not trust that you know what is best for your children and yourself. I have a need. I need to send gifts, and I will continue to act in my best interest and disregard what you believe is best for those children. And for yourself and what you need. Every time a gift arrives, it's like that's what the message is on it. So does that seem like somebody who's doing the work? You know what I mean? Like, so what am I to make of that? And then another thing which is so interesting about the gifts. Oh, let me get this thought out before I forget it. So in that letter that I wrote to them, the email, I said, please go to 6 months of therapy on you. Please don't make it about our relationship on you. And please send us some kind of letter from the therapist, like a joint letter or something that says that you've gone to therapy. So, I mean, it was as explicit, it was like literally a roadmap. So, like, I hear these estrangement stories where there's all this like ambiguity and people don't know what's going on. Like, I handed to them exactly a list of what I needed. Which I'm sure was angered them because they get very angry when I have agency and boundaries and when I make decisions for myself and when I talk about my needs and when I try to center people on my needs because I have never been permitted to do that. We all must center, we've all been very centered on my mother's needs. So I am sure that that angered them because I always get, well, you're not going to tell us what to do, right? Like, I can hear my mom's voice. I don't need you to tell me what to do. like almost in defiance. It's like the packages are like her. It's still like a power, right? It's still like a competition of like in our relationship, who's gonna hold the more power, right? And those gifts are her exerting what control and power, she's just kind of grasping at straws for power in this relationship still. So that tells me she's not healing. She's not getting to a healthier place. That tells me that she's still stuck exactly where I was in the power, the one up, who hurt who more. That's exactly where I was. And because of that, because like these boxes would show up and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do about this? And my husband's watching me go through this and I'm cursing and then I'm crying. And I would go to the support groups, and they're like, just throw them out, just donate them. Don't even open them or just send them back. And, I'd go to my therapist and like what I finally landed on was, I just need to take the power away from these boxes and these gifts. I'm giving them way too much power. I'm letting them come into my life and ruin my peace and my happiness. So I just decided we just open them and give them to the kids and just move on. Like I just had to. I went
Beautiful.
through, while it took a while to get there because every box was like a another reminder from my mom of like, I don't respect you. I don't see you as a person who needs, right? And I was like, I just stop giving these boxes, so like just move on. But the thing that's really hard too is that just a little side story here. When I talked about, my mom coming to me to help her pack, well, when we were in contact, and we can go through this, we've had periods of like low contact and no contact before. This is the longest and most permanent ever. Well, permanent question mark. But for gift giving, I have four kids. They have birthdays, there's holidays. I have two who were born in the month of December. And so she would come to me and she would want, and this is going to sound maybe ungrateful, right? She would come to me, well, what can I get the kids? Can you give me lists of what to get the kids? And I would say, Mom, we're struggling to figure out what to get them. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like it's hard enough for my husband and I to keep up with all of this, all the birthdays, and then like, oh my gosh, with the two kids in December, trying to figure out what to get them for that and Christmas. And it just used to always like really agitate me of like, I can't do this work for you. And if I come up with good ideas, I'm going to take them, And then I would say, just send them like a gift card. I don't know. But this was just never, this just always, 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 always. And I know that's probably sounds ungrateful, right? Because I should just be thankful,
Well,
right?
here's this what I want to bring attention to. It's not just this event that you're talking about. It's not just what do I get the kids for their birthday or Christmas? It's the totality of everything. If you did not have the history that you have with your mom, if you didn't have all the other things that are coming into play, we're asking about what to get
I
for
feel like that's
Christmas
kind of
or
like a
birthdays.
normal like mother-daughter maybe like friction point, but what you've just said is interesting because I've said this before to my husband. It's like if I was just dealing with that, I could probably, but when it's like layered on top of this traumatic childhood that I came from, and I don't have this, I realize like I just get so triggered by my mom because, and I've tried to explain, it's like I've been holding my mom's hand, like the care and feeding of my mom. I cannot. I have no more bandwidth for it. I have four children. I have myself who I have not taken care of mentally for ever. And so it's like, I know you need these kinds of things. And if I was healthy and we were both healthy, these would just be like normal things to like probably work through in a relationship, but they're not for us because of all the layers underneath it.
And this is what I try in my work with moms is to help them to understand, because that's it's kind of like when the estrangement occurs, parents are, like, oh my gosh, this came out of the blue. I'm like, no.
No, it didn't.
There's a lead up, and it's the same thing with this. Well, she just blew up at this one little thing, and it's such a little thing. Why did she make such a big deal out of it? And I come in and I say, because it wasn't really about this little thing. It's
No.
again almost like
Yeah.
the you're not talking to the 42-year-old
Yeah.
girl
Yeah.
woman, you're talking to the 7-year-old little
Yeah.
girl, the 15-year-old teenager, right? It's there are bigger things. We have to
Yeah.
look at the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
So,
You
yes.
just made me think of like silly things, right? So like my mom coming into my house and changing my thermostat. Like normally, probably not a big deal, right? Or my
Right.
stepdad giving my daughter a lollipop when I asked him not to. These stick out. But little, if you just take them by one thing, yeah, you could gloss over them. But it's after years of just this messaging
Yes.
that I was receiving of like, you don't get to have needs in this relationship. You don't get to have boundaries. You don't get to have agency. And it breaks you. It breaks you inside and you believe it. Like, I can piece together now why I have been so shitty to myself my whole life. Because I have never been treated like I have value or worth, or that I get. Nobody gives me that space to have that in these relationships. And I
Yes.
have had to work through the deepest self-loathing because I have never felt like I am worth anything. And again, this is hard too, to realize that 2 years and the things that I've asked them to do and they're not doing them, it is hard because I feel not worthy of this work. I'm asking you to go to therapy and listen to two podcasts. And it feels like I'm not even worth that. And then my therapist will say, your mom, it's not you. Your mom's
Right.
has only
Doesn't
certain
matter. It still
abilities. And like,
hurts.
I know it still hurts because my whole, like these little interactions from something as simple as like just not being seen, not having a voice. And yeah, so yeah,
Yeah, let's take a break.
I was gonna, I kind of lost my train of thought there.
This brings this episode to a close. I hope that this time together was time you feel well spent and that you are able to find some takeaway nuggets to help you on your journey, wherever you may be on your estrangement and reconciliation path. If you feel you've received something helpful or positive from this podcast, please consider following us, sharing this podcast with others, leaving a positive review, perhaps entertaining becoming a guest on our show, or following us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok under the same name, The Estranged Heart. As a reminder, there is an online support group on Facebook. If you are a estranged mom who identifies as being spiritual and approaches estrangement with a sense of curiosity rather than blame and judgment and desire to do inner self-work and reflection, please seek us out. We can be found at facebook.com/estrangedmothers support group. And lastly, if you are an estranged parent or an estranged adult child and would like to have your story shared on the podcast, anonymously or not, please reach out to me via email at theestrangedheart@gmail.com.